That's one of my new favorite books, is the book that I got beside it. It's very short, but am I supposed to use that? Okay. It's a super short book, but I decided it's one of my favorites. Rebuild the Temple. I could sum it up with that. Rebuild the Temple. Right? Some of us, like, God has told you to do something, and you've been sitting on it, and you're not doing it. You know? That's really the story there. They were sitting on that temple for what? How many years had it been by that point? 14 years? And they were just sitting idle. And I love that God, by the way, this is kind of sort of related to what I'm going to talk about today, but I just feel like I need to say this. The people, this is God speaking right through the prophet. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then it goes on and God is like, I didn't say that. You said that. You're the one leaving it idle. I didn't say that. You're right. He calls them out. So anyway, there's just something about God puts something in you to do, and you're not moving on it, and you know whatever it is, if I'm talking to you, and he's like, let's go rebuild the temple, like it's time. And that does relate to what I'm going to talk about today. So Todd, as you can tell from just today, he's constantly asking the question, how is God training you? And I've been working with him. He's been mentoring me for a bit now. And gosh, he asked me that question, I swear, every time we talk. How is God training you? What is he saying to you? How is he training you? How would you describe how he's changing you, right? If you talk to him ever, he's going to hit you with that question at some point. And it's a great question, honestly. It's fantastic. And I've sat with it and sat with it. And I think for a while it was like, I don't know, and I don't know that I can give you an answer right now, but I think I got it, and I know because I've just been meditating on that question and sitting with that and praying on it and journaling and just noodling over what that could possibly be, and finally it's clicked, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. That's what's most alive in my spirit right now, is that conversation that I have for you. It's what's most alive, it's on my mind, it's on my heart. And it's one of these words that I think you're either going to be like, she is talking to me right now, this is very present, on time, or I'm going to need you to put it in your back pocket, because I promise you, you will come to this moment if, there's a big if here, sometimes I like to call it the big but moment, there's a big if here. If you don't come to this moment, it's probably because you're not walking. So I really hope you come to this moment at some point, or you've probably, I'm guessing, already come to this moment a time or two in your life. I don't think it's something that happens once in your walk with Jesus. I think it happens quite a bit. But I'm just saying, if it's not right now, if it's not an on-time word right now, put it in your back pocket, because I do believe that it is something you're going to want to remember. That I feel like he just plopped into my brain and deposited and was like, this is a conversation that I don't feel like enough people are talking about, and I need you to talk about it, okay? So, some context before I get into everything. I came out of the wilderness, right? This is talking about, he says, when you came out of Egypt, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, do not be afraid. So, I was in Egypt, and I was in the wilderness, for a time, felt like forever. Again, if you've been with Jesus, you've been in the wilderness. I don't know that anyone that's really been with the Lord that hasn't gone through a wilderness season, right? Like, it's just a rite of passage. So I was in the wilderness, let's say, I'm gonna try to make this a quick story here. Peak 2023. Peak. Anyone else have an awful 2023? Like, worst year of my life. So bad, but so good, honestly, because I know he was doing something. Was it hard? 2023 to 2024, it was a solid 2 years of wilderness for me. That's when, as I talked about up here before, I was coming out of the New Age spirituality world, where it's like universe, tarot cards, crystals, all that, goddesses. I was coming out of that space. Met Jesus when I moved to South Carolina, and yeah, it was just everything that gets stripped away. Every false belief, every false identity, all of my belief systems, my values, my reputation, everything, right? It's just put it in the fire. And it was really, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, right? And I know wilderness. You know, people nowadays they say, I know a ball. If you've heard people say, oh, I know a ball. I know wilderness. Anyone else feel really confident? You'd be like, I know wilderness. Like, I know wilderness. I honestly think, you know what? That's a really good thing. Like, you are a better person for that, truly. As long as you did the work while you were in the wilderness, let's be clear. Because if you're just like these Israelites, right, and you're not really doing it, you're just going to walk in circles for 40 years. There's that point too. So I know wilderness. I know the depression, the insomnia, the anxiety attacks. I was awake one time for 36 hours straight because I had such bad insomnia, and the enemy was just doing everything to make me absolutely miserable and think that I had no place in this world. And I remember my mom asking me if I was going to hurt myself. I know wilderness. I know what it is to come out of Egypt and it feel like it's like breathing down your neck, but you're like, I can't go back there. That's not an option. But I am so in the wilderness and it is uncomfortable. But I got to keep going forward. I'm not in the wilderness anymore, okay? I'm not in the wilderness. So speed up the story here. I'm not there. The space that I want to talk about today is where I believe I'm at, and I'm going to show you a nice little visual on my board to make this as clear as possible. But I know I'm not there anymore. But I also know that a part of me doesn't feel like I'm fully in my promised land, like I'm fully... If I am, I'm not deep in it. Like, I'm not in the forest of it. I haven't really discovered and explored a lot of it. Maybe it's like this line right here. And actually, feels very quite prophetic for what I'm talking about today. Maybe my 1 foot's here, my 1 foot's here. It feels like that sort of space for me. And yet I hear God, that's the training part right now. What I'm going to talk about today is that space in between wilderness, promised land, it's that space that I want to talk about today. That's where he's had me. That's the training for me, is that holding space. And again, I don't think a lot of people talk about it. It seems like it's one or the other. It's Egypt, it's wilderness, it's promised land. And he's like, no. I need you to talk about, there's a space there. I've decided to call it the fourth space. So we're going to talk about the fourth space today. All right. Let's do my visuals. Let's bust it out so we can see here. And I'm going to do my best to hold this with my left hand because I'm very right-handed, but we'll see how this works. Okay. So we've got Egypt, right? We'll just put a big E. We know what that is. We don't want to go back there. Slave mindset, right? We don't want to go back there. And then we eventually get, let's say, we go to the wilderness. Okay. Biblically speaking, these actually weren't that far apart. It wasn't actually that, I think it was like, is it 200 miles or something? It wasn't crazy amount of distance between Egypt and where they went to the Israelites. It wasn't like it was a crazy far away distance. So we'll make the W a little closer. Like it's, if you were at the border here, they weren't that far. Okay, so we'll say that. What feels like you're in the wilderness for forever, right? We'll make that space a lot longer. They were supposed to be here for what did they say, like 11 days or something? It should have been a quick journey. Yeah, you know, it didn't become a quick journey. This is 40 years. 40 years. My God, I hope that you are not in the wilderness for 40 years. Figure it out. Figure it out. Ask the question like Todd asks. How is he training you? Figure it out. Okay, then we know we got promised land. So this is happy times. This is milk and honey, right? Feed and breed over there instead of fight or flight. If we're speaking in nervous system language, okay? This is good stuff. We want to get here. This is, yes, we want to get here. But as I said,
That spot is where he wanted me to talk about tonight and where he's been training me. And it's an interesting point. Where do I want to go with this, Holy Spirit? Hold on. This point is its own level of discomfort. I know that this is uncomfortable. This is deeply painful, right? For those of us, we agree this is painful. This is almost like you're numb. You're maybe not even aware, right? This is like you're under a veil. I didn't know I was in Egypt when I was in the deception of the New Age. I didn't know, right? I hear that. There's like a numbness here. You're blind, right? Hence amazing grace. I was blind, but now I see. But then you get here, and then it's really painful. This is a different kind of uncomfortable that is like, I don't know what to do with this space. But you feel like this is right behind you. But you know that this is before you. You can really sense it. It's like it's right. You can see the mountains. If this was mountains, they're there.
Okay, so
this place you're hidden. Okay? This is a hidden spot in the journey. This squiggly line, or my little line here on the floor, oh man, I need a different color. I want a different color here. We're gonna go with my favorite color, pink. Do you know what I'm gonna write? There is a risk of hiding when you get to this spot. So hidden, risk of hiding. Let's go to the book.
Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. This is the 12 scouts. Numbers chapter 13. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. Okay, coming down here, let's go to verse 17. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. "Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like. Find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see." My Bible says in the NLT version, "It happened to be the season for harvesting the first grapes." Just want to pause. I don't think that was an accident. It happened to be the harvest season. So they're going in and getting to see everything, the good stuff, right? It happened to be harvest season. Okay, Jesus, it happened to be. Best time to go in, okay. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near Lebo Hamath. Okay, verse 13. When they came to the valley of Eshtol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. Okay, so they're seeing harvest. They're seeing plenty, right? Jump down, verse 25, the scouting report. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. So note, they are, right, they're in the wilderness. That's clear, okay? They reported to the whole community what they had seen. I know we're reading them a lot, but stay with me. This is so good. What they had seen, and showed them the fruits they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there, this is where it gets good, are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean, blah, 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 right? But Caleb, I love that right there, just but Caleb. But Caleb, it's like, but God, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. He's like, oh, I see where you're going with this, right? He says, let's go at once to take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. Amen. But, remember I called it the big but, the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour, it's a strong word, anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. We even saw giants. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and they thought that of us too. Okay, so then the people, chapter 14, right? They rebel. They're like, oh my gosh, that sounds horrible. We can't do that. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Pause. They saw with their eyes, the scouts, right? There's 12, 10 of them, they saw it. They happened to be there during the harvest season. They saw the milk and the honey, right? So to speak, they saw the grapes, they saw the pomegranates, they saw the figs. They're like, oh yeah, it's bountiful. But then immediately, what do? There's giants, it's really scary, they're gonna kill us. And they spread that part. Which brings me to the question that ended up kind of becoming the sermon title, if you will, for this whole thought in my head, which was, but would you even go? But would you even go? If I, right, this is like God speaking, if I told you, if I showed you everything, all the good, if I showed you, if you were to see it, if I told you exactly what was going to happen, it was going to be so good, but would you even go? I remember that hit me. I was like, oh, like, would I want to believe I would? Because this is something else he told me. He was like, you know, you can idolize certainty. You can worship certainty like it's a god. You can keep saying, just God, just show me. God, just give me more answers. If you just show me, if you just give me a vision, if you just tell me a little bit, I swear, I'll do it. I just need a little bit more. I need one more sign. It's like Gideon, just give me one more. Just give me one more. I've definitely been that person. And I see other people shaking their head. But would you even go? He was like, he highlighted this and was like, listen, I showed them. I told them. I was the one that told them to go. And they went and they did it. And they still didn't want to go. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, 2 out of 12 wanted to go. Are you a Joshua and Caleb? Or are you one of the 10? Because he needs Joshua's and Caleb's to be like, we're right here. And we gotta go. That attitude that he had when he's like, let's conquer it. We're right here. Let's go.
I think most of us want to act like, yeah, I'd be a Joshua, yeah, I'd be like a Caleb, but would you even go? If there's a situation in your life you can think of right now where it's like, man, if he would just give me the answer to that, I would do it. But would you? But really, would you? Like, be so for real with yourself, would you? Because I think that the risk here is the hiding, is that you've gotten so comfy here that you don't end up going here. And it's not even necessarily just about this, right? I felt like the Lord was like, we focus so much on Egypt, right? Oh, you don't want to go back to Egypt. But what if you stay stuck here? Like, we talk about this all the time. You don't want to have a slave mindset. The Israelites just couldn't get rid of the slave mindset of Egypt. I understand that. But to be honest, I am not worried one second about me going back to the New Age movement. Doesn't faze me at all. I don't question ever that I'm going to go back there. No. Period. That doesn't worry me. This worries me. I do not want to get stuck here, but really, I don't want to get stuck right here in this fourth space. He keeps talking to me about thresholds, and I'm not the only one. I'm obviously like, I'm a millennial, right? I'm online quite a bit, and I'm looking at things, and other prophetic people that are online and doing their thing and sharing their message on online ministry. I've seen other people talking about thresholds, and I'm like, listen, I know it's in the collective right now, this conversation about thresholds, and that's really what this conversation is right here, is that God wants to push you past the threshold, but you have to be willing to cross through it, because the risk is that you will stay hiding way past the season of when God wanted you hidden, right? Because there is a time and a place to be hidden, but then it becomes, are you just going to stay hiding? Does that make sense? Okay. These two areas, let's talk about the hidden area. Hidden, right? That's good. If you're in a hidden season right now, that's beautiful. I would never, ever, ever, I've been hidden. I know what that feels like. I would never want to call you out from like under being under his wing. That's God ordained. It's beautiful. It can be painful, but it's beautiful too. But then the other side, the hiding, that is fear ordained. Like, that is not, well, once you get to that point, which I feel like he's kind of starting to breathe on my neck a little bit, where he's like, Alyssa, are you going to move yet? I'm like, I hear you. That's me getting in my own head about what I know he's telling me to do. Hidden, your identity is getting rooted. Again, that's beautiful. The other one, your identity, you're avoiding it. You're avoiding everything that he's been forming in you. You're trying to push it away. I don't want to step into it. And if I'm being so for real, I'm kind of doing that right now. Hidden, you're learning to hear. You're learning to hear his voice. Again, that's beautiful. Don't rush that. But when you get to hiding, you're just worried about what others are going to think. So you don't step out. Hidden, you're being obedient and being quiet and being unseen. And I have done that for the past about 3 years. And I've largely been, even though I said I'm online, I'm not posting anything. I'm not on. I'm just kind of observing other people's content. I have not posted anything in a year. I've been silent. Because he basically told me, be quiet. And so I was like, okay, we'll be quiet. I have a lot of things to say, but I'll be quiet. And then the other is just the fear in being seen. Once you get to hiding, I just don't want to be seen. I'm just scared. It's the wilderness mindset that I just don't want someone to get stuck in. Again, I'm not worried about you being in the Egypt slave mindset so much. Like, I think you've probably shed a lot of that. It's the wilderness mindset, I think, that you can get really stuck in. And God is trying to push you into that promised land mindset, which is so different.
And I admit, like, I don't fully know what that feels like. Like, I have to figure that out. But I know he wants me to go be like a Joshua and a Caleb.
Absolutely.
And go do it. So, but would you even go? If you flip forward in Numbers, in chapter 14, it says, verse 34, because your men explored the land for 40 days, right, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sin. The scariest part to me to all of this is, if you flip back a bit to chapter 14, verse 25. Ooh. 24 is when he's talking about Caleb, right? He says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. But then right below that, what happens? That is some scary stuff right there. Now turn around. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. I wrote in my Bible at some point, this was a while ago I wrote this, they were brought to the threshold of the promised land, but sent back. That is really scary to me. Like, I do not want to do that. I do not want to get to my threshold moment. And because I am afraid, remember what I read from Haggai, right? So do not be afraid, he tells them. He says, I am the same God that brought you out of Egypt. Do not be afraid. Don't get to the threshold point, and then I have to turn you back around to go back into the wilderness. That's terrifying. No, thank you. Please note where you are right now. Be honest with yourself. Again, this might be a right now word that you're like, oh, I'm hiding. I just don't want to step out. I just don't want to do the thing. I just don't want to go walk in the direction that he's told me to do. Maybe you're like, yep, that's me. I'm over here. I'm just hiding. I don't want to do it. That's me right now. To be honest, that's me. I know I'm in front of you right now, but for me, the scariest thing is I have to get back online. He's made it clear I have to do it. I don't want to. I do not want to. Not any piece of my flesh wants to. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to do it. But he's like, well, ball's in your court. And if you're in a hidden season, again, I'm not pushing you out of that, saying it is beautiful. But I'm really, this is who I'm talking to tonight, is these people that are hiding or at a threshold moment, and he's wanting Joshua's and Caleb's. Because if you've gone through all of that preparation of the wilderness and all of that training, to use Todd's favorite word, if you've done all of that, and you get to that squiggly line part, you get to that threshold moment, and you stop, after all that formation work he did in you, what are you doing? Like, how, honestly, that feels to me like a slap in the face. To God, that feels like, I know you did all this in me, but like, I can't do it. I'm scared. I don't want to. That literally, like, just sit with that. Genuinely, think of God and all the work he's done in you. Everything that he's delivered you from, the man, the woman that he has formed you to be. And you're going to get right to that line. You're going to stop. What is that? That does not glorify him. I feel so, honestly, I'm sweating up here right now. I feel so convicted about it. He needs the Joshuas and the Calebs. We cannot idolize certainty. You cannot make an idol out of, I need all the answers before I take the step forward. And if you are doing that, I am calling you forward and out in this moment. Not just me, I believe the Holy Spirit is like, this is the zone for me that he is like, Alyssa, you need to talk about this for quite some time, which is what I plan to do when I get back on social media. I'm gonna talk about this specific fourth space a lot. That's the plan. To my friends in the audience, hold me to it. You know that's the message I need to talk about online. I'm gonna do it. So, the fourth space. But would you even go? Are you a Joshua? Are you a Caleb? Or are you gonna be one of the 10? That is the question that I believe Spirit wanted me to put forward tonight in a loving way to maybe call someone out, call someone, let's say forward and out. Out and forward. It's a both. Can you guys close your eyes for me? You guys, if you know me by now, I like to do these little moments.
I just first feel like we all just need to take a breath. So just go ahead and take an inhale. And then exhale out of your mouth. One more like that. Inhale through your nose. Out of your mouth. Keeping your eyes closed, please. If you are someone in the room who this is, you're like, this is me right now. I'm at a threshold point. I'm at the edge of the promised land. I'm aware of what he wants me to do, but I'm not doing it. I'm not moving. I am going to encourage you to, if you can, stand up. Obviously, you can open your eyes to do that if you need to, but just keep your eyes down. And I just want to encourage you, in this moment, take a little step forward. Just literally take a metaphorical, spiritual step forward. And if this is not you, just know that I know your eyes are closed. There are people in the room who are standing. So in this moment, we are sending them a prayer for the threshold that they are standing in right now. For the moment that God has them here. They've gone through it. They have moved through a wilderness, and they're standing there at the edge. They see the mountains. They can smell the milk and honey, but they're not moving. Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters to you who are standing at that edge. I pray a holy courage into them, a deep courage and authority and fire in them to move forward, to put their feet in action, to walk in faith, not fear, to move out of the fear-ordained space and walk in the God-ordained space. To walk in the men and the women that you have created them to be, that you have formed them to be, that you have taken them out of Egypt and through a desert to be. The work that you have done in them, Lord God, thank you so much for delivering them, for sanctifying them, for forming them in their gifts, in their talents. Thank you, Jesus. I am praying this
fire within them that goes deep in their bones that says, I have got to move. I have got to go. I cannot continue to circle this mountain. I have to go. Lord, bring that holy fire into them. Bring it into their feet. Bring it up through into their belly, into their heart, and out of their mouth. Bring it into their minds so that they actually start taking the steps that they need to take, that they actually start taking the action steps that they need to take, that they would stop with the excuses, that they would stop with the, but later, I can do it then. I'm too busy. I'm distracted. I need more answers. I need more certainty. I need more clarity. I need more direction. I need another sign. That ends tonight. Lord God, they are going to walk in faith like you call us to do. You don't give us always the full picture because you want us to walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity for my brothers and sisters to walk with you, in step with you, to be yoked to you. Thank you, Jesus. May they surrender to that. May they walk in step with you. May they let you lead them. May they trust the person that you have formed them to be, that they are not scared of doing it. They are scared of being it, of being the woman, of being the man that you have formed them to be. They are not scared of doing it. You are not scared of doing it. You are scared of being it. Go be her. Go be him. Go be the man of God. Go be the woman of God that he has created you to be. God is just saying, you gotta go. It is time to cross the threshold. You have to go. It is time to stop hiding. I have hidden you long enough. If you stay any longer, it's on you. Go. I love you. I will be with you. I am the God who brought you out of Egypt, and I will go with you. Amen. You can be seated.
Okay. I think that feels complete. This is so on my heart right now. If I was praying over you, just know that it's me too. It's me too. And we're going to do it. We're going to be Joshua's and Caleb's. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Todd.
Praise the Lord.
Woo. Got to put my arms away. Hold on.
The fourth space, is that your choosing?
The
fourth space.
There
are a few more people in here on that fourth space that stood up, but that's okay. I was just a little shy. There's always areas that, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in the Lord, you get in that space a lot. You know, are you going to go do it? You know, it's like you breathe something inside of you to do your mission or your purpose or to go talk to a person or go do this or go do that, and you find yourself in that space. And you have to make a decision whether to go or not. The worst problem, the worst situation that you possibly be in is when you don't make a decision. You know, when you're in that, like, should I or should I not? I mean, it's a tormenting place, you know. But when you have the Lord telling you to go do something, you think that because you see the promise land or whatever that you would just jump on it. It's not like that, really, in reality in life. Many, many times we find ourselves in being indecisive. And it's just a growing thing, but I don't think it ever stops. You know, it'd be nice to take the training harness off and say, well, I'm done, I've arrived, you know, I've fought the good fight of faith, and maybe there is a time in the season that happens to all of us. But until that time, you are in training. And so it's simply to be able to step out of that fourth phase. I really like the way that the prophetess in training had brought that to us. And you could tell the anointing on her. I gave her some objectives tonight. We're going to get some feedback because I want to know. Because when you're ministering in the anointing or the power of God's on you to minister, there's things that you have to learn while you're actually doing it. He's actually guiding you. He directs you where you walk or what you say. You know, I don't have in my mind ever like what I'm going to say. I just open my mouth and he fills it. That's not always true. Sometimes Todd talks, you can probably tell the difference. You know, but with God speaking through you, you have to be sensitive to that anointing that's within you. It illuminates you, illuminates your mind. A lot of people maybe might describe it as a feeling. Other people might describe it maybe as a strong direction. But whatever it is, you have to go through that phase to step out in it. A lot of people are afraid to bring a word of the Lord or to even pray for individuals. You know, it's amazing to me how many Christians don't even know how to pray for another person. I don't think there's anybody in this room that's like that. But there are a lot that are out there that can't get past that fourth phase, just in the area of praying for others. And so I just want to encourage you. I felt that was a very strong word, and it was something that really hit the mark. And it hit me in some areas that I've been hesitant to step out in. And I really heard the word of the Lord tonight to me that, hey, you know, Steph, you know, but what are people going to think? You know, I was working with somebody today that lives in that world. What will people think? And when you worry about what other people are going to think, you actually, you know, it's like the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's true. It really does holds us back, you know, because it's not so much we can't live a life of what others think. You got to live a life of what does God think about it. But I'm preaching to the choir here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I keep coming back to you. I don't know why. I don't need to preach to you directly. And what is your name?
Melanie,
is that it? It's pretty. You got a good, strong name. You could have been named something else. It wasn't strong. It was kind of weird. But your parents had wisdom. They called you Melanie. It's kind of like a song. Melanie, type of thing. I want to give you encouragement. I just want to encourage you. I just feel the Spirit of God really just brings healing into your life and some refreshment. You know, refreshment is something that is what comes from time. Refreshment comes from the Spirit of God. It strengthens us to go just a little bit longer. And I know you've been enduring. You're like, when? That keeps coming up in my spirit. But God is refreshing you tonight to be able to continue on because you're not quite filled up with endurance yet. You've got a lot of it. But you think, oh, no, if I can't do any more, I haven't been enduring. You see me down here, hello, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, just need a little bit more endurance. And what does endurance do for you? It's something that is obtained only through a trial. You don't just naturally just wake up and have endurance, but when you go through a trial, and it's something that you need for your journey, okay, because your ministry and your mission requires endurance. And so that's why God is filling you up with it. And you can talk to him about it. You see, I think I've got enough now. You know, I mean, I don't really want any more, but if you're wise, you can give me more if you like. But you need it for what it is that you're going to be doing. But see, God has opened up a door of opportunity to you. And when you talk about ministry and stuff like that, you've often wondered your place. How should I step? What should I do? I mean, I've done this. I've done that. I just want to know my place. Because you ask that of the Lord, that's going to open up to you. So you're going to find yourself in that space. Because he's going to show you all the mountains and stuff like that, but you're going to find yourself in that space. But I think you're going to jump on it because he's answering you tonight very specifically some things that you've looked for. And so he's going to give you those answers. That's going to be a wonderful thing. So be encouraged. But you're going to need that endurance in that ministry because you're going to deal with people that are just frustrated. That will be the earmark, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, every time we get called to a group of people, if you notice how God calls all those prophets and things more in, he called the people that, they're not going to listen to you. They're hard-headed, and they're lost. But I want you to go and warn them. And if you don't warn them, it's going to come on your head.
I actually give that assignment. Ezekiel's assignment was incredible. I don't know about you. Do you ever not want to go to a certain book in the Bible because you know it's there? Because you're afraid that maybe God is going to take, you know, like Job comes up in your spirit, you know?
What do you want to show me in Job? I don't forget to tell me to go to Job. What's in there? What's the Job that I need to know about? Because I've read the book. I do know it. Just quote it to me. Wait, Holy Spirit. I want you to go look at it. I want you to see how the enemy operates. And then I'll start to show me all this stuff. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So I was glad I got out of the book right after I got in it. But sometimes we have to be patient. Amen? God is so good. Well, come on up here. Ralph, come on up here. Patty. Ralph, come over. Would you come over in position A here? And Alex, I want you to come with him. That's all right? Yeah, you're Alex, right? Where your dulcet shows are.
No,
I'm Alex. Yeah, Alex, okay. So don't try to take it. They try to assimilate Daniel by renaming.
Okay.
I'm not renaming. And Alyssa, would you come up here with Patty? That's bad. For 30 years.
Yeah, Michael. Hi.
Praise the Lord. And let's see. And Mr. Lewis, where are you at? You need to come over here with this group, with the male side. Let's see. Prophetess, would you come up here? You're over here. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, I'm going to hand the mic to Patty. And then if you guys get anything, feel free to share. Okay? All right? Keep it concise. Okay? No pressure. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sure?
Okay, my lady. Yes. I feel like God is shifting you around. He's taking you from one place and going to put you in another place. And I just see him, it's almost like he's refilling you, cleaning you up. Not that you're not clean, but he's doing some stuff.
Oh, no, I've been in the back.
Yeah, he's doing some stuff inside of you. But I see him totally shifting you around. Like you're going from here to there. From here to there. He's changing something inside of you. And it's going to be like an overnight thing. It's like, oh my gosh. He's going to enlighten you in a way that you haven't been enlightened as of yet. But I see a shift.
I got something, but I'm going to just discern it real quick.
Okay. The gentleman back here with the yellow shirt. What is your name?
Bob.
Bob, just as I turned to you, I felt like the Lord was wanting me to just speak just a word of encouragement. I felt that the Lord was showing me you're walking in a time of questioning. I know I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it was as though that you're doing a lot of questioning. A lot of things are coming past your view, and it's causing you to question. And God wanted me to encourage you today that is Him. He's letting you see some things coming because He has definitely got His hand on you. And is that your wife next to you?
Yes.
I was going to say that lady next to you. I hope it's your wife because that's what I've heard. But the questions that are coming by are of the Lord, and God is going to give you a real supernatural wisdom. I want to say this to you, my brother, that he's going to give you a better spiritual vision and better spiritual hearing because he has, for you and that woman beside you, that wonderful gal that's been with you for many years, I suppose. It was just God was saying there's a lot of questions that are flying by and it's causing some concern. And God says, be still, be at peace. It's from me. And God is going to open to you and both of you. There's something that God is going to begin to open for you both. And it's almost going to be an aha moment. One of those, thank you, Lord. And I see that for both of you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh,
Isaiah 12, I was just reading this. It's songs of praise. Isaiah the prophet is singing a song, but he says, the Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, he will draw water from the wells of salvation. And, you know, every single time I listen to your singing, and when I've been over at Penny's house with y'all, you have such an anointing in your voice. And I'm like discerning, but I really feel like what you're doing is more than ministry. You don't realize that you're stepping into something bigger, but I don't know why, but I feel this in my spirit. If you continue to walk in that path, brother, I think your singing will bring healing to people's ears. It's like, you know how he said, well, Jesus will bring healing to the deaf. And I don't know if there's just been kind of, you know, between me and you, I'm not going to lie to you, I've had things that have tried to make me draw back, especially in this season. Your word hit me hard tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, we're not friends anymore. I'm but I just wanted to encourage you as your friend, because I know that you have a music ministry, and if you just feel like maybe the Lord's tugging on your heart a little bit, just pray about it, you know? But I would definitely read Isaiah 12 in your personal time. Kimberly, I was receiving a message yesterday, and it really stuck to me, and I want to personally give this remark back to you, because I feel like that this is going to make sense. Growing up, you're my sister, me and you, oh God, we have seen things. We've witnessed traumas. We've witnessed our family chew each other out. And unfortunately, the prophecy that I received yesterday, she said, you may have, it's like pretty pink sunglasses over your eyes that give you this vision of how things are meant to be, hiding you from the world. And I just felt in my spirit that God is going to minister healing into your heart, because the world at times may seem really tough, but our family, we've been coming together, we've been strengthened, but that's because of God. But I just feel him saying that he really wants to give you a tidal wave of new emotions, of a new cistern. Because me and you, we've been so used to drinking from the muddy well, but God wants to give us better things, and he wants to give you better things.
This little lady. Yeah. I don't know why, but I was just drawn to you when you came in, and the word I kept hearing was the black sheep are out there. Like, you're ministering to those that feel like they're the black sheep. And I know Todd's already kind of hit on that, but you look different. I look different. But God looks at the heart, and he loves your heart for those people. He sat with the tax collectors. He you know, came for those that were sick and needed a physician. And that love that you have in your heart for those that look different than some, that's just the only way I would put it, just different. We're all different, but there are some out there that people won't even talk to because they look so different, if that makes sense. So you opening up your home as a place, like he was saying, I just felt like that's exactly what God wants you right now. It's just to love them. It's not about preaching to them or anything. It's just loving them. Loving them right where they are.
That fourth phase right now.
I've been reading Threshold all week, and I was like, what is he talking about?
See? I'm serious.
I was like, what is the Threshold? I'm telling
you. I don't know who this is. Oh, sorry.
Oh, there you are. Oh. Amen. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. The Holy Spirit is going to really shatter your perceptions. He's going to move in the perception area, okay? Perception is how you see things, but specifically how you see yourself. He is specifically going to move in that area. And the thing is, you need to minister to yourself. Now, this is very strange because I do it myself all the time. I look myself in the mirror. Did it yesterday. Don't do it very often, but I did it. I talk to myself because I know God's inside of me. So we have a conversation. And he talks back to me through me. And he never says anything bad about me. Even though he knows every thought, every sin, every inconsistency, how I feel. I mean, I am naked, completely naked. And so we have to have these conversations sometimes. He has to straighten me out. He has to remind me of how I see myself. And I must come in agreement with him. Now, he was going to force me, but he wants me to come to agreement. The reason why I'm saying you need to have a conversation with yourself is because you need to undo all those thoughts, all those things. And they came through the pathway of fear. When fear of any sort, any kind of manifestation comes into your thought life, if you allow it to repeat, it will create a home.
Yeah.
And already, the light is on right now. So you need to destroy those houses, okay, with the Word of God, because they're lies. Now, they're lies that are mixed with truths. Now, it's a truth that I don't have, I don't know, what's the highest IQ you have?
180.
Okay.
I think.
180?
Okay.
So, I have a master's degree, I don't know that.
Well, I don't know either, but let's just say hypothetically that, you know, that I have an IQ of 180. No, let's say it's 120, okay? But let's say it's 100. Let's say it's 50. Okay, let's say I have an IQ of 50. Now, if I take that IQ test, it's true that I have an IQ of 50 according to that test. But that's a point in time where I was here, but now I've learned things, and now I've got an IQ that is raised. So really, even though it's there, but you can see if I have an IQ of 50, I look at it, and over here, over here, Shannon's got a 180. I guess I'm not. But that could affect me. You get situations like that in your life that are repeated. I shatter it to name Jesus Christ in your life. It is not true. You're a child of God, you're the mind of Christ. You're created, if you read Psalm 139, you are wonderfully created, unique, and powerful.
Amen.
That's who you really are. That's your identity.
Amen.
And so you need to go home, you need to ream yourself out, because you've been reamed out before. I see anger words around you. People have been angry at you at times, and just really reamed out. I see that in the spirit. So anyway, you need to ream yourself out. Give yourself a good reaming. I mean, that stuff has got to stop. It's not true, okay? So we're done with that. Okay, now let's talk about your ministry.
Your ministry is like a bud right now, and God is watering it, and you're getting involved with different people who are involved in ministry, who want to go out and do things, do stuff. And now you find yourself in that stream. Go out and do the stuff.
Amen.
You got something to offer. This thing that comes through me can come through you if you want it. You're in that fourth phase. Take that step, knock out this perception. Let's put that stuff aside. Now, you aren't the only one in here. I'm ministering to about at least 7 people right now. Okay, I'm not going to go to them, but I see them in my spirit right now. I've got 7 people in here at least, okay? So they're going to have to go home and yell at themselves, okay? Now, it's ringing out, it's probably not. Is that a good word? Is that a bad word? Is it? I don't know if it's a good word. Okay, all right, because I don't want to offend anybody. Because I really care. Now, that's nothing you can't learn about. You just can't worry about the world. Okay? Bring the word. Deliver the goods. You got this. God is loading up your truck to bring healing to people. Okay? God has set me free of this. I thought I was this. I thought I was all. I thought God has set me free from this. And they're going to see it in your eyes because you're going to know it's truth.
Okay? This is a very personal word to you because God's a personal God. And he knows you need this today. But more importantly, he had to clean you in this area so he can use you. Okay? And release this word freely. That's what's going to happen. You're a very happy person in your family. Because your happiness is never going to be rooted again in fear. It's going to be rooted in love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. He who has fear is not perfected in love.
Hallelujah.
So you don't love yourself. Go ahead and sign this step on me. You were gorgeous. You know, if I get any better looking, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is a problem. You see what I'm saying? You've got to turn the tables on this thing and come in line with God. Because when God creates something beautiful, and he says, I made something beautiful, and we turn around and say, hey, no, I'm not.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now you're taking on the Almighty. Good luck with that argument. It's not going to work. So put this aside. I'll see you in a year.
You got a lady right here on the back right, with the dark sweater. What's your name? Maddie. Could you stand up? I feel like the Lord was prophetically doing something for you tonight, and all I can say is there's fertilizer in your shoes, sister. You're fixing to grow. I was standing there and I felt like the Lord says, I am setting her up. It's almost like a shoot of growth that's in your destiny, in your future, just shortly. And all I could see was God was saying, I fertilized her shoes. She's fixing to grow. And I don't know where the Lord is leading you, what your desires, what you're calling it, but I felt like you're fixing to enter into a season of supernatural growth. And because of the Lord focusing on you, I actually felt that my bride here has perhaps got a prophetic song.
Over and over again, I'm calling you again. Over and over again, I'm calling you again. Over and over and over, over and over and over. Over and over and over, I'm calling you again. You're like a butterfly that's in that little chute, and you're fixing to bust through. I just see you breaking through and being one of the most beautiful butterflies that there could ever be. I see you going from tree to tree, from person to person, ministering. And I see the Lord healing your heart also. I see him going in real deep and sewing you up like you've had heart surgery. He's taking stitch after stitch after stitch after stitch, healing you up and restoring you and causing you to be a butterfly.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Can I share this?
Yeah.
Mallory. Can I share this? I didn't know why I had this.
She told me to give to
yes,
you.
Yes, but then I was like, what is that word right there? I'm still learning very much, though, to be able to hear words like everyone up here right now. But what I do know is that I feel confident enough in the words that I share on a collective basis that those always feel really strong. And I just wanted to share this because Mallory said that she drew this 3 days ago. And yeah, I know you can't see it from here. You can probably tell that it's a tunnel. Okay, but can you read what that word is? It's kind of hard to read, so tell me if you can make that out. I figured it out.
Threshold.
It says threshold.
Wow.
So she drew that 3 days ago, and I was going to give this message last week, but then the air conditioner went out, and then you drew it 3 days ago. So, and I was bored. What was I talking about tonight?
Threshold.
And I do have a feeling I agree with Todd. I think there's more people in the room that maybe you didn't stand up because you weren't able to, or you just were like, maybe that's not me. But the word is threshold. And I know that tunnel might look a little scary from the way that Mallory depicted it,
But if you've ever gone through a tunnel, right, usually on the other side, you know when you finally come out of the tunnel and then it's really bright?
There's a light at the end.
There's a light. I do see your light. You put a little bit of white at the end. But it's like, you know what I just, okay, I just thought this. You know when you're in a tunnel and the radio goes out? If you're, like, well, back when we used to use, like, radios. Now we use Spotify. But, you know, like, the radio would kind of go out. Maybe it would kind of go in and out. But then as you get closer towards the end of the tunnel, like, the system starts coming back online again. You start hearing things again. And it's like, oh, it's starting to get, I can hear things again. And by the time you come out to the other side of the tunnel, you can hear really clearly. And it's all bright and sunny. And the trees are back out. That's just the image that this just gave me. So thank you so much for this. This is so affirming for me, too, that I'm not crazy in hearing what I'm hearing. So thank you so much. And just threshold. And it's okay if you don't like me after that. It's okay.
No, we're good. We're good. I promise. We're good.
So, yeah, just step forward, guys.
Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. But if you need I'm sorry, not yet.
Just won't let me go. Oh, Jimmy, as Todd was ministering the word to you, and he did a really good job expounding upon the plan of God, your mission in life, who you are, because God is defining all of that. But one particular thing that kept coming to me as he was speaking to you was that you are going to be a man who focuses with all your heart on hearing the voice of God. And I want you to know something. God speaks Taiwanese. He speaks Greek, Hebrew. He speaks all the languages. But not only that, sir, it's so important. You'll be a mainstay of your ministry of hearing the voice of God so clearly. God is going to give you the ability to do that because he's going to draw you into it. But also more than that, you are going to reach a level where you're going to teach other people how to hear the voice of God. It is an extremely important area in God's relationship with man, because God wants men, people, to hear his voice so clearly, without any doubt. You will be used of the Lord to chase away all doubt. There will be no ambiguity. There will only be the ability you have to give understanding on how to hear the voice of God. You will be able to impart this. God will give you words and instructions on how to relate it to where every person you come in contact will understand it. Family members and associates and so forth. And in the quiet times, the Lord says, I will call you in the midnight hour, and I will speak to you, and you will say, Lord, here am I. And you will have this conversation, and the voice of God will become more real to you than any other voice in creation. This is your mission. This is your calling. This is what God Almighty has chosen you to do.
Excuse me. Right there with the hat. Man, I'm just getting fired up because of the word that the Lord was just sharing with me. I saw a vision, and I know it's going to sound like a little nerdy because it's a comic book. You know the Punisher, right? Okay, so the Lord was showing me, like, Jeremiah. I'm going to just apply this to Scripture. But I saw the Punisher. Jeremiah was sat down into a broken cistern, and he had some of the official guards pull him up, and they had to send down rope, but they gave him padding underneath to pull him up. And I felt like God was wanting me to tell you that you've been seeing like vultures around your harvest. It's like you want to pick for things, but those vultures are kind of like, I don't know, like taunting a little bit. Does that make sense? But I just want you to know that that's in the spirit. That's in the spirit. And God showed me that you're like a Punisher. Okay, I'm not trying to scare anybody here. But I see you, man, and it's like you have your arm, and you're taking on the shield of God, and you're pushing through. And I just want to encourage you, man, that those vultures, there's only a season. And whoever the person is that you feel like God is directing you to go and deliver them, man, he's giving you that authority. But people are pulling you out, man, in the spirit. I just see it.
Okay. Last one.
I'm mostly at the threshold because my heart is racing. Just last week I was at church, and I believe this is for everybody, but I just want to make sure I say this right. So fear of man, I've been there. And I always ask the Lord, give me fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. And so that's what I've been praying over the church. Lord, give us all the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord just fall in this place. So that's what I'm asking right now, Lord. Does the fear of the Lord fall in this place? We are in a time, I believe things are about to start really ramping up in this world. And if we have the fear of man, we're in trouble.
Amen.
Lord God, I just pray the fear of the Lord fall on your people. Fall on your people. So the things he's given me, I haven't been able to cross over yet, because I feel like he's downloading and downloading and downloading. And I'm writing and I'm writing and I'm writing. But that was the biggest one, is because when he tells me to put it out to the body, I can't have fear of you, whether you reject me or not, because it comes straight from him. And it's because he loves you desperately. He is so in love with you. So ask him every day, Lord, teach me what it means to be, to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that's what I pray for this whole body.
And one little side note, I see a daughter in your life. You're going to have your first child be a daughter. Yeah, I know you're not married yet.
Jimmy?
Yeah. You're not married yet, right? Okay, just FYI. Okay, you can come back, you know, when that happens, or call me. You'll find me. Okay, you can Google my name. Everything's there on Google, even where I live. That's not for everybody to do, by the way. Don't be going Googling my name, because I'll know, maybe. Praise God. Well, if you still need ministry, we are here to minister to you, and I want you just to come up and not be bashful about that. And we've got plenty of seasoned people here to cast out your demons. Stephanie, that's right. We will cast them out. Amen. She's got the demon of niceness over there. She's nice. Amen. I'm just kidding. She's got a great spirit. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in our midst, Lord. What a blessing it's been to be here in your presence. We just thank you for everything you've done. We just give you all the glory and all the honor and everything you've done in Jesus' name. Now, there's a thing over. If you're not on our text list, if you wouldn't mind leaving your phone number, there's a little pad over there. I'd love to have your phone number. I do a video once a week, the word of the week, and that way, if we have guests or like that, we'd love for you to get in contact with you. But there's a pad and paper there, over there, if you wouldn't mind leaving your phone number, I appreciate it. Thank you.
The Lord has been talking to me about trust and rest, and I really need to have a teaching on that. We'll pray about that for next time.
Okay.
I'm having so long of time, but yeah, that's what he's been doing in my life for a month.
Just come ready to share it. Now, I'm not sure it's going to be next week, but you said it. You said it.
Now, on August 6th, I'll be out of town. I'll have the other retreat. So,
okay.
And I don't know if Billy's willing to do music or if you want to reschedule. That's between you guys. But
okay.
Yeah, I love it.
But I hear you.
Yeah.
But you didn't even have to tell me that. I've already got
all
in
right.
My spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's hot.
Thank you.
I've seen my letter hiding the
blood. Yeah.
You have something
to
Thank you.
Thank you.